Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes, indeed. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. Welcome in to Gwynn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr. Chris Ello out today. Matt Scraby in.
Remember the days of sitting in class?
Yep, that was me.
Yeah, see, there's Matt Scraby,
there
ladies
am.
And gentlemen. He's already having an impact.
Oh.
2 hours in, pushing buttons that don't need to be pushed.
Yeah. I really wanted to play this instead.
I love Total Divas.
But I didn't.
Gwynn and Chris is brought to you by Sonic Drive-Ins here in San Diego. Amazing burgers and drinks with 8 locations around town. So Google Sonic San Diego and find the location nearest you. Thanks to Sonic. We are approaching game 2 between the Dodgers and Rays. I believe you have Blake Snell on the mound for the Rays and Tony Gonsolin for the Dodgers. Game 2. Gonsolin struggled in his last start going up against the Braves. He sees if he can try to continue the winning ways of the Dodgers as they jumped out pretty impressively yesterday, Scrape, the way they played.
Making me rethink everything I said yesterday in my predictions of the Rays winning in 7 and Manny Margot being the MVP of the World Series. It doesn't look good at this moment in time, but there's still time.
Yeah. You know what stood out to me yesterday was the fact that when you look over across the diamond, right, you got the Dodgers. I believe their 3-4 hitters were Justin Turner and Max Muncy, right? And on the flip side, how ironic is it that you have Manny Margot and Hunter Renfro on that side yesterday? I thought that was it was intriguing only from the standpoint of you wouldn't expect those two guys in the Rays to be hitting in those particular spots in a World Series going up against the Dodgers.
Chris brought it up yesterday, and he said that the Dodgers have to be the far superior team just because they're not having to hit Manny Margot and Hunter Renfro in their lineup, which
Chris said that.
He did say it, and I can't say that he's wrong about it. I mean, I don't know what – I was feeling the Rays yesterday, and I know I'm jumping off their bandwagon a little bit right now.
Whoa. You're jumping off the bandwagon?
I'm not jumping off the bandwagon. I'm the only one on the wagon in this room right now, but it proved to me yesterday, yeah, maybe the Rays aren't the talent superior team, or at least matching the Dodgers.
Well, they certainly will have to do better than they did yesterday. From all, and you know what? The crazy part is, as good as they've been, they have struggled with offensively all year long. I think they all playoffs long. I think they're hitting below 200 as a team at one point during the playoffs. So. It didn't look much better.
You take away, well, real quick, you take away I can't pronounce his name.
Azarena.
You take away him, he's their entire offense so far. And if he doesn't do anything, then who's going to do something?
This team heavily relies on the home run. And if they're not getting it, they don't score, you know. And your defense can only do so much when the other team is finding open field, open open fake grass out there or hitting the ball over the fence, there's only so much a defense can do. You got to be able to keep the score close, and certainly yesterday the Rays did not do that. Told you guys that going into the break that we had A.J. Preller. Myself, John Heyman, on our Big Time Baseball podcast had A.J. Preller. Oh, but before I get to that, we do need to do our 5 o'clock
Las Vegas
qualifier.
Qualification.
Yeah, the Las Vegas qualifier. So, the question of today is, who did I say is the Padres' next version of, not next version, who's Padres' version of Mookie Betts? If you got that answer, call in. You qualify yourself for a chance at that Las Vegas vacation. Now, on to A.J. Preller. Had him on Big Time Baseball, myself and John Heyman, pinned him down on some, I thought, was some important questions. And considering what had happened the week before, we wanted an injury update on some of the guys that have had some injuries.
Well, both guys with Mike and Danielson, they both, since the season's ended, they've gone and seen, you know, different doctor specialists, just kind of checking, making sure that, getting a consistent theme on where things are at from a diagnosis standpoint. I think the good news for both guys is after our team docs and a couple of outside specialists, so everybody said they don't feel like it's surgical in either case. Probably a little different situation with both guys. You know, Mike's talked more about the back of his elbow in terms of more of a posterior elbow impingement. Nilsson hasn't been able to localize it as much to like one point. It's been more of like a muscular thing. But, you know, both guys from the information we've gotten back has been, you know, more of a rest and recovery type situation. And, hopefully that's how the offseason plays out, and probably start throwing a baseball again here and at some point in 4 to 6 weeks for both guys.
Sounded pretty positive, I must say. Back of the elbow certainly isn't. Doesn't cause as much attention as it does to the inside of your elbow. And certainly, Danielson Lamet not pinpointing to, you know, where he already has had surgery once on that UCL, and it's kind of being more muscular, that could be a positive thing. I know Danielson will be doing the PRP as they get closer to the season to try to get right. And hopefully that happens, because obviously those two are big, big components of this Padre ball club.
At one point, it seems like Mike Clevinger is more in the clear than Danielson Lamet. But at what point in the spring training or in that area do they have to start preparing for life without Danielson Lamet? You know what I'm saying? Like, when do they have to start filling that hole in the rotation?
I don't know that you do, right? I think you go back to – you're going to go in with a rosy pitcher. Now, maybe – you never know. AJ is pretty smart. He plans out. He plans far out in front. So he could bring a guy in that he thinks almost as a backup plan if Danielson isn't able to go. That's something I could definitely see A.J. Preller doing. Like I said, he's one of those guys who's thinking 2-3 steps ahead when we're all still stuck on the current step that we're talking about. One of the other issues, and I wouldn't call it an issue, but one of the other things that popped up was the opportunity to sign Fernando Tatis Jr., and it was asked if he thought an Acuna deal could happen. Acuna type deal could happen.
I guess you can't just throw that Acuna deal at him, huh? He's gonna want to do better than that, huh? Just trying to help you out here.
Yeah, no, I think like the, you know, the whole thing over the course of the last 4 or 5 years for us is building to a point where we have, you know, some foundation type pieces and guys that, you know, we think are winning championship level players, impact players, and then players that fans want to come see play, and then get them to buy in, so they want to be in San Diego for a long time. So I think that's what we've been building towards. Again, we'll get more serious here in the next few months as we kind of see where things are at in terms of exactly where Fernando and his representatives are with trying to do something long term in San Diego. But again, I think it's something that when you get, you know, impact players and impact people, you want to make sure that you're building around those people for the long haul, and you can count on people. So, you know, we'll definitely explore it here in the next few weeks, and in months. And, you know, I think like anything, I think, you know, his group, Danny Lozano, you know, we did the Machado deal there. So we'll be able to have honest conversation and open. We'll give him kind of, this is where we're at. This is what we think. And hopefully we're able to line up on something.
Listen, I think those two things go hand in hand, right? Impact player, impact people. And as I said earlier, Fernando Tatis Jr. is certainly that. The one thing I hadn't got a chance to ask AJ, because very little access to the players and people around the organization for good reason. I asked him what the process was like going and what his thoughts were around the trade deadline when he pulled off a whole bunch of different moves.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, you know, so many fun parts of the of all of these jobs, just working in baseball. And I think, you know, the trade deadline is always, you know, as much fun, really, every single year, you know, that you get, you know, in this job. And I think this year, I think probably the biggest thing is like having, you know, like having your staff, you know, it's a group effort, and you have a ton of people that are either in this year on Zoom calls, on the phone, or, you know, in person and, you know, at Petco, and everybody kind of working towards a common theme. And, you know, I think when we first got together at that point with a couple of weeks left before the deadline, we identified four areas. In the back of the bullpen with Kirby Yates' injury, you know, we talked about potentially adding a left-handed veteran bat that we felt like complemented our club. We talked about a front of the rotation type pitcher. And then we also talked about looking at the catching situation because we were not producing at a high level in the catching spot. And I think we all looked at it and said, hey, if we can add one or two of these, it'd be great. But I think honestly, like, you know, as it came together, I think we had, you know, a feeling that, you know, we felt like we had some deals that lined up that helped us both now and for the next few years as well. So it was a ton of fun. It was a, you know, kind of a wild experience, but honestly, it was pretty careful, like going through it. It was something that we'd been prepared for. And, you know, as a GM, you just want, you know, when you have good information, you have good people around you, it makes the job a lot easier. And, with the group that we had in the room, you know, I always felt like we were making good decisions, and, you know, felt like it had a chance to pay off for us, getting us into the playoffs and hopefully deeper.
That's what I like about AJ. It's calculated risk, and that doesn't mean you're going to get all of them right. This is baseball. You're trading for what you think could be in some cases, and sometimes it doesn't work out, but he's willing to do it, and he does the homework. As he said, he was hoping just to get one of those two deals done. And as it turned out, all of them ended up lining up, and he pulled the trigger. One of the things he said in that clip was that that wasn't mentioned in there is that he, at one point, sounded like he thought Clevinger was going elsewhere, and that he wasn't going to get a chance to get him. And as things developed, it ended up falling right into their lap, and they had the pieces that were necessary to get Clevinger. And the rest is history. Hopefully, Clev can be healthy for the 2021 season, because as I said, he'd be a big part of this organization moving forward. All right, let's step away, get to break. When we come back, the man they count, they know, that we know as AB, is back in the news, possibly helping a team that's already undefeated. We'll talk about it when we return. This is Quinn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Here's traffic for Kelly. .518, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, sitting in for Chris Ello. Chris got a lot of folks in a tizzy this morning.
I think he's on suspension. I'm just kidding. He's not on suspension.
There's probably a rumor mill out there that was saying that. Oh, yeah. They must have suspended him.
Oh, did you guys hear?
Comment.
Chris isn't on the show right now. Well, I wonder what happened. No, he's fine. He scheduled vacation.
Chris, I wish I could have talked to him. See where his mind was, because it's very rare that Chris gets out there like that.
Very rare.
And he was out there, man. I got to give him some credit, man. He said some things that I was like, man.
It made me a little nervous just reading it.
No, but it was all good. Chris just being a baseball fan and just speaking his truth. All right, NFL. We talked about this guy a little more than we all like to last year, as he went through, what was it, two different teams, a suspension. And this suspension is coming to an end here after week eight, and Antonio Brown has made his way back into the news. And it is said, it was a story came out on ESPN today, that the Seahawks will definitely be one team that is in on Antonio Brown.
Shocker. And,
I mean, you think about it, just you think about it on paper, you got DK Metcalf, who's having a tremendous second year right now. Russell Wilson's playing at an MVP caliber level. And you're talking about adding, some would argue, the best wide receiver in this generation right here, or one of them. You're talking about adding him to your offense. Now, it makes sense to me from the standpoint of the Seahawks defense has been abysmal.
They've been so bad.
It's amazing that they're undefeated despite their defense. So you may need to score more points than you used to scoring. And it makes some sense that you would. And listen, I've been on this one for a little bit because I recall when Antonio Brown was out here in San Diego working out with Russell Wilson here at his home in a helmet. I think he had
was
a Raiders
in a helmet.
He was in a helmet working on routes. And it wouldn't be a surprise to me at all, Scrape, to see the Seahawks. And I know this pained you because not only are you not a fan of AB, he's also sliding into the NFC West there where your 49ers are hanging on by the hairs of their chin.
I knew you were going to say something like that, and they're not. They're not. Okay,
they are. They absolutely are.
They're 3-3. They're well.
I think
well
I saw
placed.
Their playoff probability like right under 50% at this point.
That's so you're saying
that's
there's a chance.
On, that's so hanging on the hairs of their chin.
I can't stand the Seahawks for many different reasons. Number one, I just hated the Legion of Boom and that whole thing.
Because they used to whoop on y'all
all
the time.
It was tough. Yeah. It was tough to
watch.
I can
see how that would rub you the wrong way.
Yeah. Number two, it just seems like Pete Carroll doesn't care what he brings into the organization. He's just going to bring them in if they can help you win a football game. Like, how many times did they give Josh Gordon a chance? And I know I've been pretty harsh on Josh Gordon over the last few months and years. But the guy has proven over and over and over he does not understand the opportunity he has been given to play NFL football by continuing to get suspended. Same thing goes for me with Antonio Brown. I don't understand why these people are giving them chances to continue to play for a couple games here. I mean, down the stretch, I guess you can have it for 8 games plus the playoffs, but I don't get it. I don't think that Antonio Brown is going to change the team that much after not playing for almost 3 years now, is it? Three years?
What?
At least 2 years.
He played last year.
No, he got kicked out of the Raiders because he went a little
then
cuckoo.
He played a game against the Dolphins where he caught like 6 passes in his first day.
And then he got suspended again.
Then he was released, and then he wasn't picked up again. He wasn't actually suspended until this season, and they gave him 8 weeks. And that 8 weeks is coming.
He just finds himself in so much trouble.
He has. He definitely has been not your ideal citizen. However, one of the things that we said was that we would like to see him just go away for a little bit and not be in the news, not work on himself, if you will. Now, I don't know if he's worked on himself. According to Mr. Deion Sanders, he has, but he did disappear. He did go away for a while, and he has now served his 8-game suspension. Now, I will say it's a little bit different than Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon has had a substance abuse issue, at least as far as we know. That's
self-admitted by Josh Gordon.
Yeah, okay, self-admitted. That has not only had him suspended, but had him basically eliminated from a season to play. So, and he has been given numerous chances. Now, with AB, you could argue he hasn't had as many chances as
remember when he threw the anatomy gummies at the police officers?
His ex-wife or ex-girlfriend? Yes, I do remember.
Yeah,
he threw
something. You
he's had he's had multiple incidents. I remember. Remember when he decided to go live on what was it, Instagram or Twitter?
On Facebook,
right as it was a Facebook live with Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Going in on after they just came out with a big victory.
And then he was driving maybe 90 in Pittsburgh.
That happened. Then you had the cryo tank where his feet just that, would look.
That's not his
like,
fault, but he got
it
frostbite.
Definitely is his fault. You can't get in there with no socks on.
From what it, when they did Hard Knocks, because he reported to camp and they showed everyone on Hard Knocks his feet, and they looked like he had walked over a fire because they were so beat up and so disgusting looking. Yeah, but I kind of feel like that maybe wasn't his fault.
Maybe that wasn't, but he's been involved in quite a few incidents.
Do you really think that he's going to come in right away and help a team by the end of this year? I mean, yes. What's success for him to come in? A couple touchdowns?
You watched a dude in a week of practice come in and pick up the Patriots offense, which, by the way, isn't like the easiest to pick up. He picked that up and he became Tom Brady's favorite target in a matter of like one game. Now, Tom didn't get a chance to actually go further down the line with him because of the behavior of Antonio Brown. But it does. I think this Seahawks team, it has to be the right fit in terms of, do you have somebody in the locker room that can manage him?
You also
certainly the Raiders didn't. Derek Carr was in over his head from the moment AB was a Raider. Ben had his own way of handling it, and it worked for a long period of time until it didn't. And I just think Russell Wilson is the type of leader individual that could be a good influence and keep him bottled up somewhat. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Russell Wilson is definitely a guy I think would Antonio Brown would benefit to be teammates with, try to keep him on the straight and narrow. But other teams out there, say he doesn't go to the Seahawks. I know that Tom Brady really wants him to come to the Buccaneers in Tampa, but Bruce Arians said, no way.
If Bruce is the one that brought you in and got you to come in as the off, and by the way, Bruce had Antonio in his Pittsburgh time at that point. So there may be, you know, Bruce may know something that just doesn't make him comfortable about it. And you have to listen. The reality is when you bring in somebody like AB, you got to have the right type of locker room to be able to absorb that kind of personality. And maybe with already new pieces involved in Tampa and them trying to absorb those new pieces, maybe it's a little bit too much to add another one like AB. But after that, I don't really know where he fits. Because, you know, I assume he probably wants to play for a contender.
He's not coming back to play for the Jets.
Right. Because God knows the Jets probably could bring him in. And they could use a guy like him.
They could definitely use a guy like him.
But again,
him and quarterback, Adam Gase,
quarterback would be way in over his head. Poor Sam Darnold would just be like, man, this is tough.
I think this is going to sound a little harsh too, but I have a problem with guys who continually screw up, who get opportunity after opportunity and maybe this is my hater. You guys used to call me, what was it, a famous person hater or something like that? Or I have a celebrity envy.
We call you a lot of different things.
Yes, you do. I think you said I have celebrity envy.
That sounds like something Chris would say.
Yeah, Chris would say I had celebrity envy, but it's true. I mean, I screw up three times. I'm not getting a job for a good long while in the industry that I wanted, and I know that the NFL is way different, but I just don't like seeing people who don't learn their lesson, but people are still going to reach out their hand with an opportunity for them.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of the way the world works. If you have some type of talent or something that somebody else, you know, could use, they're going to bring you in, no matter what the behavior. Not no matter what, but there are a lot of chances out there, especially in sports, and we see that all the time. All right, let's get to break. When we return, we got a countdown on the way. I decided let's do top five most important 2021 Padre players. When we return, this is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3.
Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Let's see if I do a little bit better with this one. I think I'm more comfortable. I am Scraby. Chris is on vacation. Tony's at home watching the game. And the World Series is now 1-0 after a Brandon Lau home run, solo homer, and a Manny Margot stolen base, I believe, happened as well during that commercial break.
A little Oppo Taco homer from Brandon Lau. Gave him a 1-0 lead. Rays are 31-7 in 2020 when scoring first. So
I'm back in. My Rays in seven.
You're feeling a little more confident now.
I do. I feel a little bit more confident, especially if Manny Margot is going to steal a base. Just get him going, make him the MVP, and then I can be called the Oracle once again. This hour.
Excuse me. Once again, when were you called the Oracle the first time?
I called myself that yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No one's ever said that to me, but, you know.
Okay, just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. This hour is brought to you by San Diego BMW Centers. Through November 2nd, lease a 2020 BMW X5 S-Drive 40i for $669 a month for 36 months with $5,094 due at signing. Contact a San Diego County BMW Center today for details or visit sdcountybmw.com. Now, how much do you think the Rays, before the game, knew that they needed to get out and started early? Like, I know that sounds like a really easy thing for me to say, but it's not as easy to do, and it's working for them right now.
No, I mean, every team looks to get out and get off to a fast start, and I mean, sometimes you just can't do it. Pitcher's good in the first inning, you're bad in the first, however it may work, but certainly bodes well. You know what's interesting, as you're watching this game, Tony Gosselin is already out of the game, by the way.
Wow.
He take him out in the top of the second, and you wonder, as time goes on and we see, and we're already seeing the whole bullpen thing kind of morph into different styles and how it happens. And the thing that I can see happening is teams getting better at how they decide to go about bullpen days. Now, bullpen days aren't ideal for the regular season. I know it happens and you got time to be able to adjust, but in the playoffs, it does kind of make some sense. If you only have, unless you're a team that has, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 quality starters, you're probably going to need that. And this Dodger team, at least this year, I mean, they have two that they feel comfortable with. That's Clayton Kershaw and Walker Buehler. After that, they pretty much are doing a bullpen thing, right? I mean, Gosselin comes in, he goes one inning today. They got Floro in now. The other day, May, he goes like two innings, or he might have even went one inning. They bring in another guy. Urias comes in and he pitches four. So they ultimately, you want to go in with three solid starters that you can depend on. But I think we're going to see an evolution of, in the playoffs specifically, if you only have two guys that you trust, one of those games is going to be a bullpen, and a bullpen day, and how you manage that bullpen day has a lot of say in how well your team's probably going to do moving forward.
Do you think that Gosselin knew before the game he was going to be given one inning, or, you know, through a certain batter to do his thing?
Because how it works. Yeah. I feel like it's a wait and see approach. Like, I'm sure Gosselin knew there was a possibility he would only go one, but if he's getting outs, I think these managers are just playing it by ear, right? If he's getting outs and he doesn't look like he's working hard to get these outs, you probably stick with him because it benefits your bullpen. You don't have to go to him any earlier. That's one less inning you have to cover. But I also think, you know, if you don't get off to a good start or you're looking like it's a struggle to get hitters in the first, there's a chance you might come out in the first. Like, now, in the Padres' case, I go back to Craig Stammen. I think he knew his leash was going to be short.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's the case in a game like today where Gosselin gets a start. Had he been crisp from the very beginning, maybe he stays in longer.
I feel like that might – I don't know. I feel like that might work against a pitcher. Like, you're just one pitch away from being taken out of the game. And they're professional, so they're able to pitch through that. But at the same time, this is the biggest stage, and you want to do well. I think they might press a little bit.
That's a possibility, but, you know, the good pitchers are able to go pitch by pitch. They're not worried about what's going to happen at the end of the inning. They're not even going to worry about what's going to happen in the next batter. They have to go literally, especially at the big league level, especially in the playoffs, you have to execute pitch by pitch. So, you miss, you're trying to go outside corner, down and away, you miss off the plate. All right, you're upset at yourself, but you flush it. You got to be able to move to the next pitch, and that's just kind of the nature of the beast, especially in today's game with the way pitchers are used and there's a real care for, another stolen base by the Rays. They're taking advantage as the Padres did, and Chris talked about this before the series opened. This is an advantage that they have. This is how you know the scouting gets it becomes more detailed, right? A lot of teams probably saw Derek Corsi use the Dodgers or having issue throwing guys out, but it seems like now, though, they might have to reverse this call. It looks like he might have been out. But it looks like you got more and more teams. You know, the Padres took full advantage of, of the arms or the lack there of being able to throw guys out on stolen bases. And that looks like Tampa's trying to take advantage of it too, although it looks like Adames may get this taken away. We'll see.
Do we get an extra taco each day that they steal a base? I think it's only...
Do we get an extra taco?
Yeah, when I saw Manny Margot steal that base, I was like, am I coming back to Taco Bell on 1029 as well as 1028 to get my free taco?
No, how does it – did you go get your taco yet?
No. I believe from 2 to 6 p.m. locally on October 28th, you get a free taco. I think they need to
just
stock
on that
up.
Day.
Yeah, I think they need to stock up for some tacos.
Yeah, because there's going to be a lot of people coming to get those tacos.
And let's be honest. It's not a really good deal for Taco Bell other than the fact that everybody's talking about it. I know that's what they're doing it for, but – they're giving away a lot of tacos.
Free media is the new currency in today's day and age.
Very true.
If you can get it, you get it. They overturned it. He is now thrown out at second base to end the inning. So Tampa's up 1-0 going into the bottom of the second. Go ahead, Scrape.
I was going to go back to the tacos real quick. In the Doritos Locos Taco world, are you a nacho cheesier or are you a Cool Ranch? Because I am 100% nacho cheesier.
I'm a Cool Ranch guy. Absolutely.
That doesn't
they don't
go
even
well.
Make those no more, right? They only do it the nacho cheese now, right?
I haven't been to Taco Bell in that long.
Yeah, I haven't been there either, but I feel like I was told the Cool Ranch is gone. In my opinion, there should be in all the Doritos, Salsa Verde, there should be all kinds of different Doritos.
Tapatio.
All of them. They need to have a selection of those bad
chicken
boys.
And waffles.
What took Taco Bell so long to get to that point, too, by the way? It just seems like a natural transition.
It does seem like a natural transition. I think they probably merged as brands, if we're going to go technical about that, because they're all under, like, Yum Brands or whatever. But I like Taco Bell. Now that we're spending time on Taco Bell, I like Taco Bell because they're not
You're
afraid.
Really spending, you got us spending time. On Taco Bell.
It's okay. I'm starving, by the way. they really spend a lot of their time and effort on creating new things, and I appreciate that. They're not so confined. They're able to take a Dorito and put it with a taco and call it the Locos Taco. Tony's giving me this look like, can you please?
I'm like, are we giving out credit for that? That seemed like an easy move, as I said.
Yeah, seems like an easy move. It is an easy move.
It definitely is an easy move.
Now, if they're giving out free chalupas, I would be all in.
I've had enough of the Taco Bell talk as is.
Gwen and Chris like to rank things. Not college rankings, not athlete rankings.
So what's your point?
But their own rankings. And these rankings can be very serious.
Top five ways that we like potatoes.
Top five pizzas.
Top five ways to beat the heat.
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
The countdown starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Yes, indeed. We are back to doing our countdown. It's tough to get these countdowns in during the season. Usually we're coming off the air before we can even get to a countdown, but we've been able to squeeze a few in here. We've done, what was the last food one we did? Oh, bet top fast food items.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Last one we did. We're jumping back into sports, Padre sports to be exact. And with 2020 behind us in such a success, in my opinion, we're talking 2021. Who do we think are the top five players of importance for the 2021 season? So,
number
we begin
five.
There. And I'll go first. Number five on my list will be Jake Cronenworth. Terrific rookie season. Big reason why the Padres were as good and as deep as they were. But I want to see him get better. I want to see him continue to improve, continue to make that step. We all are aware of the sophomore season that can be a little bit of a drag, but just really like the way Jake works, goes about his business. I'm looking to see him take another step forward in his maturation as a baseball player. I think it'll be important for the Padres in order to continue to play the way that they played all season.
My friend asked me, what do you think Jake Cronenworth feels watching the Rays in the playoffs in the World Series? And I said, I think he feels better on the Padres. I think he's...
He wasn't even in the big leagues with the Rays.
Yeah,
so that's an easy one.
Yeah, he feels way better with the team that he's got right now.
He feels way better with the team that gave him an opportunity, a team that he kicked the door down, basically, because even the Padres, I don't even think, knew exactly what they had. They knew he could pitch a little bit. They knew he was a tremendous defensive player. But what he showed was that he was a tremendous baseball player in general. He could do everything. He could hit, he could run, or he could play some defense, which is very important up the middle.
My number five is someone who hasn't made their major league debut yet, but it's going to be Mackenzie Gore. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Denelson Lamet, Mike Clevinger, we both think that Mike Clevinger probably has the less serious injury of the two. But I believe that Mackenzie Gore is going to need to show his face in this coming season, and I hope the Padres are allowing him to do that. I know that you guys talked about it with AJ Preller on your Big Time Baseball podcast, which you can find on radio.com. But I just think that he's very important to this next season, trying to see what you got there.
Yeah, no, indeed. Can't
be number four.
With that premise and number four, for some of the same reasons I picked Jake Cronenworth, number four will be Trent Grisham. We saw Trent be a force at the top of the lineup in 2020, but kind of came back down to earth. I think he finished around 247, 248 on the season. Showed some tremendous power in a short season. Showed the ability to play a good, really good, sound center field. And again, as I know it wasn't technically his rookie season, but I want to see him make that next step. It's always important, as we're talking about a team that could be good for years to come, it's always important that the players that are young keep getting better. We see it with the Dodgers year in and year out. Those young guys, they get better each year, and it keeps their team tough to beat. I think the Padres need these two guys to do the same thing. They have to continue to get better. They cannot rest on what 2020 did for them. And I think based on what I know of those two guys, I think they will. I think they'll keep pushing forward, keep pushing to get better.
My number four player is going to be someone who experienced a lot of success this short season, but Will Myers. I think when Will Myers is playing well and hitting well, he's a piece to the team that you can't really predict and you need in your lineup, because he obviously showed that he has lots of power, and I just like Will Myers. I don't know why everybody doesn't like him, but I have good feelings about Will Myers.
I don't think people dislike Will the person.
They dislike Will the player.
Production that they've gotten. I think that's what they dislike. I don't know how you could possibly dislike Will, maybe other than the fact that he didn't like our Mexican food when he first got it.
I was just about to say that.
Let's give him a pass on it. I think he's...
That was like 6 years ago.
I think he's made his way back to Earth.
Yeah, but Will Myers, I think, needs another big year next year.
Number three.
This one was tough for me because I've decided to leave out Manny Machado, guys like that, that I expect... The expectation is what it is for them. I don't know that we can have expectations for guys like Trent Grisham and Jake Cronenworth, because it was in a 60-game season, and we still want to see more. We want to see more from them. Number three, for that reason, I'm going to go with Luis Patino. He came up last year. Again, notice the young guy theme here. Luis Patino came up, pitched out of the bullpen, had some good days. He had some bad days. But I think the learning experience for him in 2020 will be the biggest takeaway for him. And it's easy to see why the Padres are in love with him, right? He has electric stuff. When he learns how to command that electric stuff, I think he's going to be a guy that's in the rotation. He's going to be, I don't know if he has the Nelson Lamet type stuff yet, but he certainly has the potential to be a front end of the rotation type guy. I want to see him take that next step. Now, what that step is, I don't know. Depends on how the Padres are using him. If he's going to be in the rotation, he pitches well enough in spring and shows that he can be in a rotation, that's the step I would like to see. But if they keep him in the bullpen, I just want to see him be a strike thrower more. Be able to locate his fastball, because when he can do that, I think that will open up everything for him, and we'll get a chance to see why he's been one of the highest regarded prospects that this organization has seen.
That's a really good one. My number three in our top five important players for the Padres in 2021 is the catcher Austin Nola.
Good one.
When they traded for him, he was, I believe he was hitting over 300 with the Mariners, and he kind of struggled when he came to the Padres, but he proved that he can play the defensive side of catcher. But yeah. And we know he's shown that he can hit as well, so if he can get back to his Seattle Mariners ways, I think he's going to be really, really important for the Padres in 2021.
Number two.
This next gentleman is not young, but missed a lot of the season this past season after being acquired from the Rays, and that's Tommy Pham. We got to see the impact he had on the ball club from the very beginning. This team went from a team that was not a high on-base team, that punched out a lot, to a team that cut down on the punch-outs and became a much better on-base team. And I think his mindset at the plate was contagious. I think a lot of people saw, especially in spring training, it was apparent to me, every at-bat he took, he had a lot of eyes on him, a lot of guys watching him. And I really honestly believe they watched him and took pieces of that. And next thing you know, that this whole team had that kind of mindset. And I just think he's going to be an important piece in 2021. A healthy Tommy Pham can do some serious damage for this Padre team. I mean, he did some serious damage in the playoffs. He swung the bat very well in the playoffs. So you want to see a continuation of that. And I think he'll be a very important piece for the Padres moving forward.
You know who just popped in my head, but I don't think we know what's going to happen with him, Mitch Moreland. Mitch Moreland, we don't know if he's going to be with the team or not.
I think A.J. Preller is waiting to find out what Major League Baseball is going to do. Because that's, you know, if he's not DHing, I don't know that you feel the same way about his option number. But if he is DHing, you feel pretty good about that option.
Yeah. And I believe Rob Manfred said that he's leaning towards keeping the DH. So
did he?
Yeah, but he said a lot of things in the last couple months as well. So
touche.
My number two is a big timer, Mike Clevinger. We got to see a little bit of him, but if he's going to be the number one guy, the ace of the staff, he has to stay healthy and he has to pitch well. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that, Tony.
All right.
Number one.
You go ahead and tell me, David. Number one is pretty obvious. It's Fernando Tatis Jr., and you're probably wondering, why is he on the list? It's clear that he's already the guy that he needs to be. Well, what we haven't seen yet is 162 games. I'm not saying he got to play all 162, but anywhere between, 145, 158? That's all I need to see at this point. Him be able to get through the full season and play at the level he's playing, which I believe he will. But clearly, as I said, this guy could be the Padres version of Mookie Betts here in San Diego. I think he's well on his way. I think that's really the only question mark that remains to be answered is how can he hold up over the course of 162? I think having the 2 years that he did will be that he gained a lot of information on how to make that work. And I'm looking forward to this man's career. I really believe it's going to be something special here.
My number one, same guy, Fernando Tatis Jr. He's the most important piece to this whole team. He's the one who brings the fun. He's the one who brings the focus. He does it all. So he's got to continue what he's been doing.
When is the last time the Padres had a must-see TV guy?
I would have to say your dad?
I would argue that not even my dad was necessarily must-see TV for national. Maybe I take that back. Maybe a little bit later he was. But this dude, Tatis Jr., can do it all, right? I mean, he's still at your base. He'll make an acrobatic play in the field.
He'll crush a home run.
But more importantly, when you see him on the bench, it's just like there's just energy like flowing off of him. And I think that's what people are attracted to.
When
I say people, I mean the fans. That's what they enjoy seeing the most, for sure.
For sure.
All right. Happy hour. On deck. Coming around the corner. If you missed my monologue, you're in luck.
You need to stick around.
A game at 6 o'clock when we come back. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.